Masechet Ma'aser Sheni, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Dalet discusses differences between the halachas of Karshine Ma'aser Sheni and of Truma. Karshine Mar Vetch, that we find differences between the Ma'aser Sheni and Truma that were really referenced earlier in Mishnah Beis, and they have similar differences to that of Tilson, of the Fenugreek in Mishnah Gimel. So Karshine Ma'aser Sheni, the vetch from Ma'aser Sheni, which was primarily used as animal food, and therefore Midaraisa is not obligated in these things of Ma'aser Sheni and Truma, and it's only Midarabanan obligated. But regarding the Ma'aser Sheni form, Ye'achlu Tzimchenim, it has to be eaten while it's still young, just like in the previous Mishnah by the Fenugreek. When it ages and gets older, it hardens and becomes even more difficult to eat. And it has to be eaten when it's still young, whereas the truma was more lenient, even though in general truma is more stringent, but a truma was more lenient that it could be left to harden and it was fed to animals. And that was acceptable. The Mishnah goes through other halachas about the Karshine Ma'aser Sheni. V'nechnasin liYerushalayim v'yetzin. It can be brought into Yerushalayim and it can be taken out. Normally, produce that's brought, Ma'aser Sheni produce that's brought into Yerushalayim, although Midaraisa, he's allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim, but Midarabanan, they made a gzera, they decreed that no one should take it out of Yerushalayim because he may come to redeem it on money outside of Yerushalayim, that he's not supposed to do that. And so they forbade anyone from bringing Ma'aser Sheni produce outside Yerushalayim. But the Karshine Ma'aser Sheni, which are anyways only Ma'aser Sheni Midarabanan, they were more lenient, and they allowed him to bring it outside Yerushalayim. But again, he has to bring it back in before it's eaten. Another halacha, nitmu, if the Ma'aser Sheni, the Karshine Ma'aser Sheni becomes tame. So normal Ma'aser Sheni produce that becomes tame, they would redeem it onto money and then purchase other produce, other food items. Over here, this Karshine of Ma'aser Sheni that became tame, Reb Tarfon says, Yischalku li'isis, he should divide it into small portions. The Rav says that the portions of Karshinim should be smaller than egg size, so they won't be able to transmit the tumah. And he should mix it together with different doughs in order that the small amounts of Karshinim should be nullified by the majority amount of dough. That's bittul b'rov. And in doing so, he'll be able to eat the Karshinim in that way, by nullifying the amounts in the larger portions of dough. The Chachamim, say Yipadu, that he should redeem it just like other Ma'aser Sheni. Vishal Truma, if the Karshinim were Truma, Beishamayim says, so here it discusses the status of Tara, if a person has to wash their hands before working with the Karshinim of Truma, like we discussed in the previous Mishnah about the Tilson of Truma, the Fenugreek of Truma, how it can be manhandled if a person has to wash his hands. So here it discusses the Karshinim. Beishamayim says, Sheirin v'shafin b'tara. You can soak it, or shafin, you can rub it. They would rub it on the skin. V'tara, only v'tara, they would have to wash their hands and have their hands tahar, pure, before handling it in this fashion, just like by regular truma. U'machilin b'tuma, but it can be fed to animals in a state of tumah. He didn't have to wash his hands before feeding it to his animals. So some requirements of washing hands was necessary to show that it had truma status. Ubeisil, Imran Beisil says, Shayrim batara, when you soak it in water, that much your hands have to be tar, because the process of getting it wet makes it susceptible to contract tumah, and then if he's touching it also without washing his hands first, it will actually make it tummy, so both will happen at once, and that's more problematic. So the sharing, the soaking it that much, basically will help that it must be done b'tara. You have to wash your hands first. But shafin, rubbing it on the skin, umachilin b'tuma, umachilin, and feeding it to animals, that could be done b'tuma. So he was more lenient and allowed even the shafin, the rubbing on the skin, to be done b'tuma without washing your hands. Shammai Eimer, Shammai, this is a third opinion. Previously we mentioned Beis Shammai, his yeshiva. This is Shammai himself's opinion, was more lenient, and that was Ye'achlu Tzarit. When it's being fed to the animals, he had to feed it dry. And even if it previously became wet and it became already susceptible to contract tumah, that's and so then it doesn't help being dry anymore. Once it becomes wet once, even if you dry it afterwards, it can still receive the tumah. But Shammai was just concerned that people will think that you don't have to treat it properly, and as long as you make a display of it being dry, even if it was previously wet, that's not a problem. And so Shammai is not concerned for you actually making a tummy. He doesn't mind. You can soak it soak it without washing your hands. But when you're feeding your animals and you're making a public display, make sure it's dry in order that it should give the appearance that you're being careful about tumma, in order that people should realize that it's truma. Rabbi Kiva is even more lenient. He says, "Kol masayim b'tumma. Whatever you do, anything can be done with tumma. You don't have to wash your hands for anything. There's no requirements whatsoever." Mishnah, hey. If a person had coins of chulin, regular chulin, mundane coins, and he had also maizer sheni coins, and they were the same type of coins, and he had them in his hands, and he knew which ones was which, but then the spazer, they got scattered, he dropped them, and now there's a mixture of coins on the floor. So he knows how many coins were maizer sheni and how many were chulin, but he doesn't know which ones are which now. So the Mishnah says, "Masha likei lemaiser sheni." If he's picking them up one by one, so the first ones that he picks up are going to be the maiser sheni. So until he counts out the amount of coins one by one that he had for maiser sheni, all the first ones he picks up will be maiser sheni, and then after that, the rest of them will be chulin. Ad sheyashlem, until he completes the full amount of maiser sheni, v'ashar chulin, the rest of the coins will be chulin. That's when he's picking it up one by one. The Rav points out here that he needs to make a t'nai. When he takes the coins that he picked up that are now, the first ones are now Maaser Sheni, he needs to make a t'nai, a condition, and say that if the ones that I picked up first were the actual Maaser Sheni coins, great. But if not, then I want the other coins to be paid. I want to redeem the Maaser Sheni off of the other coins and put it onto these coins. And by doing that, he'll make sure that he actually has the Kedushas Maaser Sheni on the coins that he now has designated as Maaser Sheni. So this is if he picked it up one by one. Vim Balal V'chafan, but if he jumbled them all together on the floor, he sweeped them all together, V'chafan, and he scooped up a handful at a shot, and he's not picking up the coins one by one, but he picked them up by a handful, so then Lefi Chesbon, then it goes proportionately. So if there was two parts Chulin, one part Maaser Sheni, so then the handful that he picked up will be two parts chulin, one part maaser sheni, and depending on what the ratio was. Only when you pick it up one by one do we say that we count all the original ones to maaser sheni and the remainder chulin. The Mishnah now repeats this klal. This is the general rule. Hamis lakdim the maaser sheni, if he's being melakid, picking them up one by one, then it goes to maaser sheni first. V'hanivlolim, but when they're all jumbled together and he picks up a handful, then lefi cheshbon, it goes proportionally based on the ratio of chulin to maaser sheni.